to come. We thank you for your blessings, your wondrous works, your miracles of healing and provision, the gift of life, the gift of salvation. As Michael said, we are still in the race. At least for that, we thank you. We come to you for teaching. We ask you to graciously teach us to count the years, the days you give us. And may we live in such a way that our each and every day count for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So good to see you. So good to see you. Christmas celebrations, whatever goes on. Parental home, and when my father and mother were there with all my brothers and sisters, we used to say that the celebrations go on for 12 months. It doesn't stop. Amen. And I believe that. Let's keep on celebrating. What a wonderful year that has been. We lost people, friends and families. And for most of them, we know they are in a better place. Children are growing. Some are taking their own wings and going places without parents. And that's the case for many, many of us here as parents. And they might not have gone abroad or gone away, but now they are able to commute to school alone. Freedom. But we still have to wake them up two or three times in one morning. But we thank God. You are growing up well and blossoming. And we speak God's blessings upon you all in Jesus' name. And we trust you. You speak words of blessings upon the parents as well in your own prayer times. Many significant days have occurred in the history of humanity. Think about the important days in history of nations and peoples to realize the difference that one day can make. Over one night, we read in 2 Kings chapter 7 from verse 1 to 11, for example, God liberated the starved Samaritan people from a vast foreign army occupation using just 4 lepers. They believed to be Gehazi and his 3 sons. They contracted leprosy and were ostracized. And this happened overnight, what we call an overnight transformation. How many people believe in an overnight transformation in this place? Today you were in one place, tomorrow absolutely on a different level. God is good. Many significant days occurred in the life of Jesus. It was a monumental day when Jesus came to Bethlehem. It was a significant day when Jesus was baptized of John. Remember your own baptism, perhaps there. The day Jesus set his face for Jerusalem, deciding to die for sinful humanity, was a meaningful day. It was to make a difference. The Friday of the crucifixion has been a day long analyzed and discussed through the years. It was a day that uniquely affected Christianity. The Apostle Paul and various other New Testament writers carefully record the account of the day of resurrection. He rose again the third day. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4. That third day made a difference. It changed the cross from bad news of a malicious murder to the good news of a deliverance. Hence, we feel free today to wear the cross on our neck. Christmas Day is still fresh in the minds of most people. That single day of the birth of Jesus Christ affected the world in many unquestionable aspects of life. The years, your year of birth, months, weeks, and days of calendars are a reference to it and are numbered from
eat.
What a difference a day makes. 24 little hours.
So also true of our life, your life. A day can make the difference in your personal life. Today we find ourselves almost on the threshold of a new year. Michael said this is the last Sunday of 2018. And this is not a prophecy, okay? Here we stand for a fresh start with prospect of dazzling future. According to or pending on decisions and choices you make on this day. I purposely chose the text of scripture in Joshua chapter 24. It will come up on the screen to guide us. Let's read together if we may. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country to see to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and she put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. Verse 8. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of the land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Those who meant it for a curse over you, God can turn it into a blessing. Amen. Those who have done wrong to you this year, praise God for them. They moved you to a place near God. If you believe that your steps are ordered, ordained by God, you know whatever happens, it's moving you closer and closer to God. Verse 11. Is it 11? Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Evites, and Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings, you did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Is it not true? Does it ring a bell? Does it remind you about yourself here? I live in a house I did not build. I enjoyed Christmas food and a drink that I did not even pay for. Thank you for your generosity. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, let's pause for a moment.
If that is the case, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose for yourselves this day, before we get into 2019, whom you will serve. You can make today one of the most significant days of your life today. And the background story here is, at the close of an illustrious career, Joshua gathered the people together in order to bring them a final message. He stressed the providential hand of God in the nation's history. Think of your own life here. How good God had been. And the Moses, he had led them from the house of bondage to the edge of the promised land. During Joshua's days of leadership, the Israelites had come into Canaan and had defeated the enemy. Israel now was in the land God intended for her to possess. Joshua realized, however, that many choices faced the people. Moses had warned them that they should not become self-satisfied and complacent once they had taken over the cities of the pagan tribes. He insisted that thoroughly exterminate the enemy and have nothing to do with the pagan religions to which they gave allegiance. We can say here safely, get rid of your unhealthy, unhelpful habits. Get rid of your undesired moods, unkind language. And like perhaps the media will say quite often, get rid of your demons. Amen. Never was a treaty carried on with better management nor brought to a better issue than this of Joshua with the people, to engage them to serve God with reason and resolution. That's my resolution for the new year. To serve God rationally and intelligently. For it is a reasonable service, the Bible tells us. He proposed the candidates for election here, if you may allow me to say so. The Lord Jehovah on one side, and on the other side, either the gods of the ancestors or the gods of their neighbors or New Age. Joshua is re-echoing many of the warnings which Moses gave to the people. God has given many blessings to the nation. The people must remain true to him. Set for yourself some goals. Goals are important. A school assembly speaker once said to a group of students, be careful what you set your goal in life. What you set as your goal in life. Whatever you make up your mind to be, you probably will become. Therefore, be sure it is a worthy goal. No person has drifted into success. One must pray for it. One must pray about it. One must plan for it. And part of that planning is the setting of goals. If I may ask, what is your goal, or what are your goals for 2019? Your key for establishing some long-range aims in life. Nothing is lost upon a person or an individual who is always bent upon moving forward, regardless of the age. I still remember Caleb, who was about in his 80s, and yet set new goals for life. He came to Joshua, said, we have not finished the work.
I think most of us, when we are 80, probably if some of us may be already 80 and in retirement, we would love to enjoy the retirement years. But Caleb came and said to Joshua, "We have not finished the work." And remember, Abraham himself was about 99 or 100 when God gave him a vision. We are still in the race, remember? Don't blame me, blame Michael. We are still in the race. These people never waste time because they are always preparing for their work and their life by keeping their eyes, mind, and heart open to experiences which will enrich them personally and bring them nearer completion to their dreams. Have you stopped dreaming? A person such as this finds that everything ministers to his or her education. By this, I mean the learning for life, not necessarily going to school. And that all things cooperate with them in their passion for growth. It is interesting that we are all called the children of God. So in God's eyes, we are really no kind of adult. We are children. So we ought to keep growing. Amen. Touch your neighbor. Say, keep on growing. Keep on growing. There is a difference between one's goal in life and one's purpose for living. Purpose is long range. Now we cast our eyes into the new year. And some people have a plan already made up. So for December 2019, they will know where they would like to be. It is like the pot of gold purpose in life at the end of a rainbow. You never quite reach it. It is always ahead of you. On the other hand, goals are more clearly defined and may be attained. For one thing, goals are concrete. They are specific actions that we can do and intend to do. Also, we can measure goals. In this way, we can judge our progress. Often they are quantitative and involved how much we intend to do and how often we intend to do it. They may be related closely to time and include how soon we can plan to accomplish the goals. Since they are related to a definite period, every year we have exactly 12 months. It doesn't change. We usually have a time target for our goals. Objectives may be pursued for indefinite times, but specific goals are circumscribed within a certain period as we plan to move toward the objective. And Michael said it clearly, the destination is heaven. We are in the race. Probably many of you have heard this, but let me just take a moment since we have few young people and just share a few things with young people which may benefit the rest of us. We know that it is said, failing to plan is planning to. Well done. Give yourself a round of applause. What is the best use of your time right now? As far as I know, for some of you, as soon as you go back to school, you have some exams waiting, right? Be it GCSE. Are you still doing SATs? No. Well, she left SAT long time ago. Plan. We plan when we are young. We plan when we are old. Because we are still children under God. Amen. Those eager to get on a successful path with their life on a whim puts briefly aside certain preferential likes to list short, medium, and long-term life goals. Then categorize them in order of importance. What is that you do first thing in the morning when you wake up? Listing under each goal specific activities designed to achieve them. Be diligent in one word. And if you are, every parent here will be so proud of you. Am I not right, parents? Move into the new year with God. Choose for yourself this day whom you are going to serve. And again, we hear saying such as, Time is money. Time is precious. And somebody posed this question, is time equal life? The answer to this question depends upon each individual's viewpoint. However, waste your time, waste your year, waste your life. Master your time, master your life. Planning is bringing the future into the present so that you can do something about it. Why are we so looking forward to 2019? In all your planning, make a list and set priorities. Know your priorities. Amen. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, reminds us, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. There is a charge upon the priests who should have been still teaching the people knowledge according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 9. But they do not. But those who rebel against the light and reject knowledge can expect no other than to perish in the dark. The problem here is not that they have not the light, but they hate it. Remember John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word, and then it goes on and said the light came among them and they did not like it. Do not forget the law of God, nor lose the desire to transmit the remembrance of it to your posterity. Now we talked about goals that they are important. Let's talk about what exactly goals mean. I believe if we work hard going into the new year, it will be different than the year we are finishing now. Goals mean hard work. Students, work hard. You know, we love to say, you are not the leaders of tomorrow, you are the leaders of today. Amen. I mean, in society, in the church. I am well aware that time is going and we need you. We need you. We need you to take over. Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful at this time next year if a young person that is here today will be sharing the word of God with us? We need you. We do not despise your youth. There is nothing wrong with building castles in the air. Every accomplishment that is worthwhile once began as a dream in the heart of the one who brought it to reality. Dream, young people. Dream, old people. Dream. The prophet Joel tells us young people have vision, old men and women dream. Dream. We cannot stop dreaming. We cannot stop having visions. Keep on dreaming. But to make these dreams come true requires work, hard work. Moreover, it requires patience. Someone asked Mr. William Pitt. William Pitt the Younger was a British politician of the late 18th and early 19th centuries. He became the youngest prime minister in 1783 at the age of 24. Is he still the youngest? Yes. What is the chief characteristics necessary to be prime minister of Britain? He replied, patience. The speaker said, what is the second requirement? He replied, patience. The speaker continued, what is the third? Mr. Pitt replied what? Be patient. When your iPad has not come yet, be patient. Too many people fail to realize their goals because they have not learned both to labor and to wait. I find that work liberates. Work liberates. Too many people fail to realize their potential because they have not been persistent. Besides, we will say, do not procrastinate. What you ought to do today, do it today. And again, let me take the role of your parents and say, if you are sent to do the dishes, do it when you are asked to do the dishes. Don't say, I will do it later. Oh, I will wonderfully share the story Michael shared to me one day when a child in the class of the teacher had some toys and the other children in the class wanted to play with too. And the teacher said to the boy, yeah, would you please share the toys with the others? He said, mm-hmm. And 2 minutes later, the other children went again to the teacher and said, he has not shared yet.
And the teacher comes to the boy and said, yes, I ask you to share the toys with your friends, your classmates. He said, I am sharing slowly. Do now what you ought to do now.
The Apostle Paul kept before him constantly that which was the goal of his life. He knew that he had not yet attained to the fullest that Christ had for him when he confronted him on the Damascus road and changed the direction of his life. He was, however, constantly seeking to know more of Christ's will for his life. His statement, many of us will know by heart, goes, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 was the real secret of his Christian growth. To continue day by day striving toward a goal is hard work. But it is the only way goals can be reached. The man who supposedly gave us light that we use in our homes once said, one must fix his mind with persistence and begin searching for that which he seeks, making use of all the accumulated knowledge of the subject which he has or can acquire from others. He must keep on searching no matter how many times he may meet with disappointment. Let me say one thing here. A setback, a disappointment is not a denial from God. Pick yourself up and go again. One of the modern boxers that we know very well went down in one of the rounds from a good punch. I heard him talk about that experience. He said, I had the choice either to stay on the canvas or to pick myself up and fight on. And then I think it was about around 11th round when he got his belt of victory. Amen. Pick yourself up and go again. I failed many times. I tell my children, my very first exam at uni, I failed it. The very first one, anatomy. I never forget that. I failed anatomy in medical school. This is bad news. But 5 years later, I was celebrating because I graduated. Amen. Pick yourself up and go again. Let me conclude with the very choice I pray and wish for each and every one of us now and going into the new year, which is the most important choice for me. I would say, choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. Would you please help me convey this message? Squeeze the hand of your neighbor where you are sitting. Say, choose Jesus. You can choose many other things. Above all, choose Jesus. Everything will be all right. Whatever you are seeking to be in life, first of all, evaluate it under the searchlight of Jesus Christ. Even goals which seem mainly secular or non-spiritually orientated must be in harmony with the will of God in Christ, or else they are futile and maybe even dangerous goals. Look at your goal and ask yourself the honest question. Is this goal pleasing to Jesus Christ? If you have not yet made the choice of Jesus Christ as Savior, settle that matter today before you choose any goal with reference to the new year, to a business career or station in life. When you receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, all other goals automatically will be re-evaluated. Some of them may be worthwhile, but they need the refining touch of the Master's hand. When Jesus comes into your heart, you will receive not only personal salvation, but also a new power for achieving your aims. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ
who strengthens me.
Philippians chapter 4 verse 13. Someone has translated this. In him who pours down into me, I am able for anything.
One distinguished preacher said, every human soul has a complete and perfect plan cherished for it in the heart of God.
A divine biography marked out, which it enters into life to live.
Such an attitude toward life gives it a sacred dignity and importance.
Someone else said, I would rather be what God chose to make me than the most glorious creature that I could think of. For to have been thought about, born in God's thought, and then made by God, is the dearest, grandest, and most precious thing in all mankind.
We are standing, sitting today at a crossroad of our lives, and in between 2 years, what you will be or not be will be determined largely by the choices you make and the choices you make today. Today you can tell yourself, I want to read the Word of God more often than I did the months gone by. And again, let me include the young people here. I was in a year, let me try to convert it in your system. The fourth year in secondary school, what do you call it?
Year 10. Thank you.
I was in year 10 when I realized that I did well in one particular exam simply because I read a bit more. And that was an eye-opener. And I set myself the goal that I will now be reading more than I have done in the past. And within 1 year, I surprised not only my friends, my classmates, the teachers, and the head of school, reading. And it's a habit I cannot lose. My family will tell you, I read and read and read and read. And God blessed me, rewarded me with many, if you know some of us here, I got a scholarship to go to medical school. And the unusual thing about the scholarship I obtained was I was a scholar of two governments. Oh, yeah. I was being paid by two governments. Wasn't beautiful for my parents? Not spending a penny for. And this is a message passed on to my own children. Make a choice today. Let me stop there. Amen. Let's stand together. We are going to read from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 and 9. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 and 9. Yes, stretch. Leave everything behind in this year as we are about to enter the new year. And tomorrow, by the way, we are here for the New Year Eve and 10:30 in the evening. So we are all welcome to seal our goals and plans in the Lord. Are we ready? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. And let's do it together. Listen, my son, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. Let's close together with the prayer the Lord Jesus taught his disciples. He said, in this manner pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from thee. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Why don't we hug one another and just say, God bless you.